Hi, welcome back to Mom Mentality Show. Austin Chadwick here, co-host Chris Lucian, and we're kind of continuing a little series on influence and influencing others and being the Mom Mentality Show. We're doing it specifically about mob programming, and what we're going to be talking about today is you're in that situation where you have an opportunity to influence a developer regarding mobbing, and maybe they're reluctant. And I'll kick it to you, Chris. What are you thinking first?
Okay, so first of all, everything from the previous episode holds true. So making sure the environment's good and you have a good relationship. I'm reminded of a time where, I was in a mob and other people on the team were kind of just maybe kind of refusing to try it out or even just anxious in some way. And so I think what it boiled down to, I think a little bit of I don't want to see other people see me type or something along those lines. There are lots of things that may cause people to have aversions to learning or to change or anything along those lines. So some of it is diagnosing it, though, because I think that making assumptions about people, what's the name of the effect? It's a misinterpretation of why somebody's late, right? So somebody might have gotten a flat tire, but you end up thinking that they're a bad person because they were late for the meeting, and you have no idea that what actually happened. So it's a fundamental attribution bias, right? I think we constantly have to be vigilant about our own attribution biases. I think on top of that, if there is somebody that's genuinely against mobbing or any particular practice, I think one thing that can pull you out of a loop of not changing is finding a smaller change, because sometimes mobbing is just such a big leap for people and sometimes they think incrementally to pairing and then mobbing is easier. I know people do say that mobbing is easier than pairing more often than I hear the inverse, but I would just say that for a lot of these things where you're trying to just make things better, often it's going to be both opening yourself up to influence but being very incremental and keep staying on the fluent edge. And so if it's something where a person has never learned to verbalize code before, right, say out loud what they're coding, then mobbing is going to be especially hard because they're going to jump in the navigator position and they're going to have a bunch of people that are waiting on them to understand from them what's happening. And so sometimes it's interesting to have, there's a cool little kata called Code Reading Club, and people just practice analyzing and verbalizing what's going on with the code. And that can be a great way to make mobbing less daunting, because they will have had time analyzing something they haven't seen before, or they have, but also saying out loud what's being done. And so it's like a book club for reading code. But I think one of the big values I think that's hidden there is this ability to practice this skill that's a subset of mobbing that is super important. So yeah, Austin, do you have any ideas?
Nice. Yeah. And I think kind of going back to the previous episode of, on influencing in general, the thing I said about natural influence, and the thing I have there is, I think if someone's reluctant, that's okay. Like, it's not like we need a goal to, influence this many developers to be mobbers in this amount of time. And for it to be a smart goal, we need, a deadline, and it needs to be specific, and it needs to be, they're 80% convinced, not 70%, like all this kind of stuff that might lead to kind of arbitrary pressure, especially if it's coming from a leader or something like that. And so for me, it's like reluctance is okay. And as I have interactions with this person, natural influence will happen, right? And so for me, it's about just addressing what naturally comes up, and having a safe space if they do want to try, right? Or if they do So I remember I was at an organization where a video of mobbing was shown at like a lunch and learn type style thing. And so basically there was two things. There was a safe space, and by safe I mean an area where there was ample time and there was kindness around the topic, but also openness to objections and concerns and that kind of thing. And there was also a safe space to experiment. So there was a mobbing station to go try it out with someone who knew how to facilitate a kata or something like that, right? And so if you have those two things going on, I feel like influence will happen naturally. And it may not happen. And maybe that's okay, because the goal is for actual influence and actual persuasion and actual conviction, not a pressure cooker influence, right? And so when I've seen those two things happen, I've seen people warm up to the idea, and maybe it's three out of a group of 12, but hey, that's enough to form a mob. Or your team or mob is interacting with a group of nine or a group of five, and now two or three of those people are happy to come mob with you for a session here and there when your APIs interact or things like that. I think what you said about aversions to change, it would definitely need to be in place. Not doing too much at once, right? which is why maybe the safe space for someone might be a kata, or like you said, a reading club thing. But the big things I've seen there is just taking away a lot of the pressure. I think, I don't know, I feel maybe it's just my experiences have jaded me, but I feel like the word influence and persuasion usually means someone in authority saying, you shall believe or do XYZ, and here are the reasons, go, right? Not, here's an idea, let's discuss it. What do you think about it? What are your concerns? You know what I mean? Or that kind of thing. Or safe
Yeah.
experimentation.
So for me, influence is a much more subtle thing, and it's more like everybody's trying to get better and working together to get better. But when you hit a brick wall, or something along those lines, right? So, if everybody's sending zip files to do their source control over email, and you say, oh, maybe we should use Git, right? I've heard many stories where people were like, their coworkers were totally against them in those. And so, I think there are things that are objectively better that end up being rejected because of a kind of corporate antibody response, that sort of thing. And I don't think it has anything to do with logic or reason. And when we're talking about influence, I think we're talking about getting people there subtly and safely to a better decision together. There's certainly coercion, which is what I would more attribute to what you were saying, where it's like, oh, I have all the power and you must do what I say. Influence is very much something where it's like, hey, let's work past the immediate response of rejecting the idea. And sometimes that takes a significant investment. And I think people often result to coercion when they don't have time for influence. And so another, I guess another key point here is make time and don't try to rush things, because when you're in a very tight timeline and you're trying to change an action or a behavior, and often I think people don't realize that there are other opportunities in the future and you don't have to win every time, but it's better to, win, quote unquote. It's better to sometimes you have to do the wrong thing a few times just to get enough acceptance in the system to then try the other thing, right? And so those are all, I think, pieces of the strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're right. Quote unquote winning, kind of going back to our Seven Habits series, is that you focus on the things you control. Someone else's beliefs and actions is not something within your control, right? So to put my identity or the status of my ability as a good developer on something I can't control is kind of a recipe frustration and failure, I think, right? So, but, you know, the things, all the things you said are things that are within our control, because it's things outside of that person's decision or action and beliefs. And so, yeah, focusing on what you can control. And maybe the one challenge I will have is, I think often, and sometimes it's hyperbole to make a point, but often, you know, things are pitted against each other, like, oh, logic, no good, you know, or, you know, emotional appeal, no good. And it's kind of like, I think it's a both and instead of an either or situation. And absolutely. So kind of going back to the classic idea of like goodness, truth, and beauty, right? And so, you know, I think there's modern books that rephrase those things in different ways. But essentially the idea that every person, by the nature of them being human, is going to use logic to some degree. And they're gonna have emotions, and they're gonna have moral intuitions, and they're gonna be attracted or detracted from certain things, right? And so I think to like universally say logic doesn't matter or this doesn't matter is just kind of being like, in a sense, denying what matters to every person. Even people who deny logic are using logic to deny logic often. So so here's my argument for why we shouldn't use logic. And it's like, oh, there's some logic right there. And so I think for me, it's just looking for what matters to them in that moment. Are they having emotional struggles with mobbing because they look weird, you know? Or are they legitimately concerned about efficiency? And, you know, there's things to, you know, parse out in regards to flow efficiency and resource efficiency and cycle time and throughput. And those are legitimate logical things to be handled. Have they had bad experiences with group work? And maybe them experiencing a good one might be a healthy thing for them emotionally. And so I think it's kind of it's not an either or, it's a both and for all these things, and just being sensitive to the situation with what is being brought up, or, you know, what aversions are being brought up, and just having an open door that they can go through if they're interested for the next step. Yeah.
All right. Well, it might be good to jump to our next episode after that.
All right. Right on.
So for all of our listeners and viewers, if you know anybody that's maybe in a team and trying to cause some change, and especially for peers among developers, this might be a good episode to share with them. And if not, then we will see you next time in the next portion of this series on influencing leadership. Thanks, everybody. Bye.